Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to Morning Manna with your host, Apostle Diane Chappelle, greeting you this morning from the great gate city of Detroit, Michigan, on this kind of dreary, rainy morning. But this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing and glad in it. We pray as you're getting up, or those that may be listening later, those getting up, and we pray that you're walking into a great day. Those that you're up and moving already, you're entering in at the same place, a great day. So I give God praise for you and thank you for being on board. Father, we thank you for keeping us through the night season and bringing us into this present morning. We are eternally grateful to you as we bow before you. We worship, praise, adore you, thank you, give you honor, glory, and all due your name. We thank you for moving in our lives and bringing us in alignment with your purpose and your plan, and for that we rejoice. We thank you for the saving, redeeming, healing, and delivering blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you that we have become one with him, thereby one with you. And for that, we are also grateful and give you praise. We thank you for the moving of the Holy Spirit in our lives as he brings us knowledge, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Continue to lead, guide, and direct us, bringing into those places of purpose so that we have clear understanding of even why we're in the earth. For that, we rejoice and we honor you, sir. We bless you and we magnify your glorious and wonderful name. Thank you for those that are joining in to share in these moments of revelation. And for that, we do continue to give you praise. We plead the blood of Jesus over everyone, everything. We thank you for angelic presence. We thank you for the covering of the blood. We thank you, Father God, as we move forward by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's direction, speaking into those things and releasing those truths that you've given us in this time and season. For that, we thank you. We honor you and magnify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, once again, good morning, guys. Glad to have you on board, as I said earlier. I pray this week that all systems are go, that I get my, so that we get our full hour of broadcast on what's been going on with the systems over the past couple of weeks. But amen. We're here. We're happy. We're rejoicing, and we're moving forward in Jesus' name. Amen. Begin with two announcements. We are celebrating today. I am relaunching our ministry, Visions of Hope Fellowship Worldwide. Those of you that may be hearing this broadcast early Sunday morning that are not connected with social media, we will be gathering this afternoon at 3, from 3 to 5, at Bernadette's Faith in Action, which is located at 20880 East 10 Mile Road in St. Clair Shores, Michigan. We have been doing Bible study over there, and it's just an awesome place, encounter, and a gate that God has given us access to. So that's where we will be at 3 o'clock and every Sunday from 3 to 5, starting today at 20880 East 7 Mile Road in St. Clair Shores, Michigan. It's located between Little Mac and Harper. Hope to see you there. Amen. And also, we're gearing up for Detroit Ablaze, the end gathering of the fivefold that will begin on June the 6th and end the June 9th Pentecost weekend in downtown Detroit. We ask that you mark those dates, keep it on your calendar and on your mind and in your prayers. Amen. Even if you cannot attend, we will be forthcoming with some confirmed information as far as lodging. But that's where we are, and that's what we're doing. Detroit is moving as our other, if not all, cities and states in this great country we call America. Amen. So once again, thank you for being on board. Well, we're continuing in our teaching on the ascension gifts, the fivefold gifts of Christ. That it seems to be, that is where, not seems to be, because clearly where the Lord is moving us in this season as he has given us our directions as we complete, as we continue the building of Christ's Church. Amen. So I'm going to share some of the things that we will be teaching extensively over the next few weeks and into Pentecost and until the Lord says do otherwise. Just want you to be part of that. Last week we kind of generalized some things and want to get into some more specifics today. Want you to have your Bibles and your notepad and your pen and all those things so that you can jot down especially some of the scriptures that we're going to be looking at again today. And we're going to start with Ephesians 4, 7, verses 11 and 12, and 1 Corinthians 12, verses 28 through 30. I want to give credit to some of the teaching material that I use, and this is coming from Apostle George Akolonu out of Global School of Ministry in London, United Kingdom, awesome man of God that I have had the opportunity to meet and sit and share and engage in conversation and direction. So he's more than a name, amen, but awesome teaching. But in Ephesians 4, verses 7, 11, and 12, we find the words, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And we're going to enhance those scriptures as we go to the teaching, but I want you to capture that and just jot it down. That's Ephesians 4 and 7 and 11 and 12, of course, is and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Amen. And then 1 Corinthians 12, verses 28 through 30, we find the words, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. I but covet earnestly the best gifts that they show I unto you a more excellent way. Amen. So I want you to keep those verses before you as we process through the teaching. We will come back to them occasionally as Father directs our attention in that direction. You know, I had a thought this morning, 2 years ago when we did the realignment conference. The scripture that I was led to use was 1 Corinthians 12:28, and he gave some apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. And this morning, as we are moving into the Detroit Ablaze, the ingathering of the fivefold, what I heard in my spirit was there was an alignment, and now we are being aligned. There was a realignment, if you would. And in this realignment, we are finding a greater definition of the alignment as we move forward in this next stage to, as I said before, to continue the building of the church of Jesus Christ, if we put it that way. So in our studies today, I want to just go over some definitions in our teaching as we begin to look at the fivefold. When we understand that there is one chief apostle and there's one chief prophet, there's one chief evangelist, there's one chief shepherd, and there's one chief teacher, excuse me, your tight tongue, and that's all Jesus the Christ. Amen. He is the chief of all. He is the sent one. He is the word of prophecy. He is the ultimate winner of souls. He is the shepherd of our souls, and he is the teachings that we would understand were it had much depth and illustration, but that is him, and as we have followed in that path as he has released those giftings into those that have been graced for the gifts. I was doing some reading earlier, and one of the things that was clearly stated is that we have these gifts that have been given to us by the grace of God, not to be selected by us, but given to us, and that we have been given a measure of grace to enable us to walk in those graces. And I'm speaking of the ascension gifts specifically this morning. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher of those gifts, of those functions, Father has graced individuals to walk in them with that measure. Kind of speaks to the move that is prevalent in our midst, especially with the apostle, that many are claiming the title, and let me say something about claiming the title not ordained in the function as far as ordination of God, not speaking of man, not ordained in the function, thereby not having the measure of the grace that has been defined by eternity to walk in that particular calling that they have. And that the title is so deceptive because, you've heard me say it before, that which we declare in the heavenly realms interact with heavenly realities, spiritual realms, spiritual realities. Statements we say are created, and they bring a response, if you would, from eternity. What am I saying? If I'm making confession that I am an apostle or a prophet or an evangelist or a pastor, teacher, but definitely the apostle and the prophet, and I haven't not been given a measure of grace to walk in that calling, what I am doing is setting myself up to be assaulted by those entities, those evil spirits, demonic presence, however you want to describe them, that have been set on course to annihilate the apostle and the prophet. In other words, if I do not have the measure of grace to operate in the calling, I do not have the weaponry to defend myself from assault. You know what I'm saying? If I hope I'm making myself clear. If we, whatever we confess in that realm, we create the outcome or the result. Amen. So we have to be aware of those things and not so take lightly the identifying markers of the apostle and the prophet, which we have not been graced. And when I said grace, given the measure of grace to carry us into the total operations of that gifting that has been given unto us. Amen. So one of the things that the Father is clearly doing in this season is helping us understand with clarity the fivefold of that particular gifting dynamic. He would do that because of the need to have ourselves in such a place where we are and not only operating in those gifts, but we are operating in that place where they are effective to not only ourselves and helping us with our identity, as all gifts do, but also to bring us into a place of being victorious and the keepers of the flame, if you would, as we move forward in this. The giftings, we have, as I said before, we've all received gifts. And when we look at the gift, the whole gifting dynamic, Romans 12 and 4 and 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Peter, we understand that we've all been gifted. We all have spiritual gifts. I'm not dealing with those particular giftings. I'm specifically dealing with the gifts of the ascension gifts of Ephesians 4. So when we look at the apostles and prophets, we understand that they have been gifted to lay foundations of the church. the evangelist, especially directed towards the unconverted. In fact, the evangelists are the ones that are actually, when you look at it, the preachers, they're the ones that proclaim the gospel message. They're the ones that hit the ground running. There are the Matthews and Marks, the Lukes and Johns, amen, the Phillips that are in the populace, in the marketplace, bringing the reality of Christ into those that will give listen, amen. And then, of course, the shepherds, the pastors, the shepherds that watch over the sheep and bring them into that have come into the fold. And then the teachers that instruct the church in the things of God to give babes meat and to bring order, to help with growth and stability. So when you look at those as the functions of the fivefold, and let me give you those again. We're speaking of the fivefold. Apostles and prophets are the relaying or the laying the foundations of the church. The evangelists, they are more or less the preachers. They're the ones out of the marketplace. They're the ones that are running and speaking with the unconverted, the unsaved, if you would, bringing the revelation, teaching, drawing them in. The evangelist that really has the first encounter, when you look at it, in many instances, they have the first encounter with the people in the marketplace. Then they bring them to the shepherd, that they, the pastors, the shepherd, that they may be nurtured and kept and cared for. And then, of course, the pastors or the shepherds, as I just stated, they care for the sheep and the teachers that are the ones that give milk to babes and meat to those who are more mature, and that they're able to function in that manner. So those are the different gifts. And these gifts work in concert with one another. They aren't working in competition. They aren't working in the over-under hierarchical lineage, as you have heard me describe, that runs according to Greek thought. They are moving according to the Hebraic secular. Everybody is doing everything, and everything that they're doing is connected to the other one is doing. Those things that brings that wholeness into what God is doing. Amen. And then when we look at the verses 12 through 14, in that Ephesians piece, why don't we do that? I'm flip back to Ephesians here. And here, these pages moving in the right manner here. Verses 12 through 14. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Amen. And 12 and then 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about, with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So to prepare for service, that is, the Lord has given us that place, that purpose of that for these gifts in the church, for the purpose to prepare us for service. Glory to God. That is in verse 12 tells us that we have been given evangelists, pastors, teachers, etc., to prepare God's people for works of service. And as I said before, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers are not to do all the ministry, but their chief task is that of getting the saints to function in the ministry. Once again, the apostles and prophets lay the foundation, and the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers move on that which has been laid and begin to produce as they reproduce the identity and the nature and the purpose of Christ in the earth, so that these individuals will go forth. Those that they are engaging will go forth is to help growth, to bring them into a place of growth, that they may come into the oneness of understanding that who they're becoming. One of the difficulties in when we look at the church construct as it is, there's no room for growth. There's room for growth, but the growth is limited. There's growth, there's in-house growth, but seldom, too often there's not the expanse of the growth going outside the doors. So the growth that's contained into the in the construct of the church can be maintained from week to week or biweekly, but the growth that is expanding needs to be expressed, if you would, outside the confines of the brick and mortar building. Amen. The growth is speaks to maturity. The maturity in Christ means that we become more and more like Him, that we ascend upward, we rise upward, we gain more, we expand out more. We begin to understand who we are, begin to identify with the new creature and the new creation that we become, begin to seek more because we have been given more. We begin to understand revelation. We begin to understand revelation that leads to activation. We begin to understand all these things. It's the same process, as I've said often, in the maturing in the realm of the spirit as it is maturing in our human nature as we start school and we move up the ladder and we move from one grade to the other. We mature as we go through life. We're born and we move upward until we're adult and we continue to move upward. Same thing has to happen in the realm of the spirit. Sad thing is that doesn't happen as readily in the realm of the spirit, and it's more often that many are kept in containment than released to maintain or become that which God has called them to be. So in that fivefold grouping, another purpose, of course, is to help the individuals grow so that they can become who God has created us to be. And then, of course, it is to protect us from harm, that we will not get shifted and turned and stirred by all of these truths that are untruths, I should say, that are out there, that He has placed teachers in the church so that we can be instructed by truth and not deceived by other by components that are not aligned with the purpose and plan of God. And we see it. We hear hyper grace, and we hear all of these different gospels and all these different interpretations of the gospel that has been done out of the intellect, if you would, of man, and not by the revelation of Holy Spirit. It has been limited for the revelation of Holy Spirit because in many places the Holy Spirit hasn't been allowed to gain access, if you hear what I'm saying. And he hasn't been allowed to gain access because if he gets access, that means he's in charge. Amen. Well, if he's in charge, that means somebody else can't not be in charge. Amen. So rather than we abdicate from the thrones that we have built in our humanity and allow Holy Spirit to come in and give the instructions and the teaching that He was sent to do to bring us into that place that we were created to become, we find that we are in that place of lack and confusion and deception. I have heard more renditions of the gospel that are not the gospel than I've ever heard in my life. And these individuals are not intending to create something of their own. It's something they've been taught. And they have been taught and they believe that they're speaking truth. So I'm listening and watching individuals preach air with conviction. Now, just roll that over in your mind for a minute. Preaching error without conviction. To me, that says the dynamic of the truth there, the spirit of truth, is not in the mix. Amen. If he's not in the mix, then you wouldn't hear him or sense him making correction or redirecting when we've tapped into error or we have misspoken, because he's not known. So they're moving in their own soulish realm without the engagement of the Holy Spirit. That is one of the most threatening things that has ever happened to the church, is to disallow the Spirit of Christ to gain entry into the church dynamic and do what He was sent to do. Amen. So thereby what happens, we continue in our human frailty, if you would, to speak a truth that is not a truth because we have not yet gained truth. Amen. So we are being led in this whole deception is being fueled by the enemy, of course, and by our own souls that know no better. The soul only knows what the soul knows, and the soul only does what the soul wants to do. And until the soul is engaged with the Holy Spirit, it is yielded to the Holy Spirit to bring it into alignment with the purpose of God, then it means we're operating out of a soulish realm. And many times we'll attest it as being the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit has not even been introduced, let alone involved in anything that's happening in the soulish realm. That's a whole different teaching, and a teaching that needs to happen, and it needs to happen post-haste, because if we do not understand the connectivity between the Holy Spirit and the soul, if we do not understand the inner workings that bring us out of that place of darkness into the marvelous light, if we don't understand the transaction that has been taking place with our souls, then we're missing one of the whole main foundations of even why we call ourselves saved. And when I say call ourselves saved, I mean why we use that terminology. Because actually, until we understand the saving grace and how it is packaged, amen, everything that is contained in the packaging of that saving grace, we cannot walk in saving grace. We can walk, and we can determine that we're in it, but we will not be walking in it because components that are required are missing. Amen. I have said, and that's another teaching, even when we come into that place of salvation in our own individual lives, what happened at that point of salvation, whether we were saved, whether we gave our hand to the pastor at the altar rail, or we had an encounter with someone in the marketplace, or we had an encounter in a Bible study. What was the interaction? What happened? What determined our salvation? And I believe if you ask many, their response would be, "Well, I know I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. I had a encounter, or just I felt like this is what I needed to do." But it's good. And the encounter, you did have an encounter. We did have an encounter. But do we understand what that encounter was? Was that encounter identified by some type of emotive thing that was going on in us? Did we get to a place that we were convicted? Did we get to a place where we just wanted to move forward? Did we get to a place like I said, encounter, or was our encounter the one that was heaven, was upwardly motivated? Was it an encounter that happened with our reality, that something was going on in heaven that had something to do with what was going on within me at the moment time, at the exact time that encounter was happening? Did we understand that we were being born from above, that something was happening that would shift us, and that Father was actually joining us in that moment of transition as we were being brought out of the blindness of darkness into the vision of the light? Did we understand? Did we have that encounter, or was it just mechanical? Amen. It was done. It was done. I'm not saying it wasn't done. Yeah, it was done. The handshake, got us in. But did we witness, did our soul bear witness to an encounter that was happening between eternity and us, that brought us into that place of knowing that we were in that place of salvation? I believe that the understanding of the encounter matters. The understanding of the encounter matters. Why am I saying that? Because if I understand that something happened with me in the encounter, then it gives me something to dwell on, or something to pray about, or something to search out, or something that kind of carries me into a continuum from that moment of contact, or that moment of the handshake, or that moment of the witness, that will give me something that would allow the Holy Spirit now to begin to engage me in my inner man, that I would come into the place of understanding and recognizing that what had happened, even though I could not clearly identify, but something was bearing witness on the inside of me because of the encounter. That's what I'm speaking of. And sometimes when we have not had that knowledge of the encounter, we can be in a state for a long time without being motivated forward. But when we understand that there is an encounter, that means that there is an expectancy, that there is more. If I know there's an encounter, I may not understand what the more is, but I know that there's been something that's happened outside of myself. It hasn't just been me, but it's been me and me and more, okay? And that more is the presence of God interacting with our soul as he is beginning to take residence in us, because now we become the tent. We become his tent. We become the place that houses his presence. You know what I'm saying? And if we aren't understanding that, and if we aren't told that to understand it, then we, like I said before, our encounter is mechanical, and a mechanical encounter can keep you stagnant in a pew forever and never bring you to the place of the more, because of the it's like a smoldering fire that has not yet been ignited into the blaze of the Holy Ghost that it needs to be. I hope that's helping someone this morning as we look at that. So that encounter matters, amen. Goes back to what I'm saying, that if we don't have that encounter, we leave the windows open. If we don't have knowledge of it, we leave the windows open for the enemy can ride in and bring anything, amen. Because there's not a sensitivity to the know of the Holy Ghost. What is the know of the Holy Ghost? When we would say something told me not to, well, that something was someone was giving us a clear warning not to go that way. But if there's not an engagement with him, then the enemy has free rein to put anything in our ear gate or in our mind gate that would seem like it's the right thing to bring us into alignment with error, because the enemy can do things that do not appear to be sin, but will be flat out error that will bring us into agreement with it, and in that agreement we will walk in error without knowing we're walking in error. For example, hyper grace, that is error, amen. All over the world, that's error. You can't prove in nowhere that you can do whatever you want to do, anytime you want to do it, whatever kind of sin you want to do, and the grace of God is going to cover that. That devil lied. It doesn't work. It doesn't work like that. If that was the case, we would never need to repent. Just keep living and doing what we've been doing, and let sin nature continue to lead us down the path to destruction, and never get into the place of alignment with the Father God. If we were to believe that, because the soul, as I said before, is not caring about being saved. The soul was happy at the party. The soul was happy in darkness. And the soul did not want to be bothered with us moving into that place that was that old nature, wanted to stay in old nature. Amen. Have the same old mind, have the same old will, have the same old emotion, wasn't caring nothing about going to glory or anything else. And we did not have the bridge that would bring us out of that place. Then that bridge would be truth, and that truth would be that which would come from the Holy Spirit. We could say yes to a hyper grace and be saying yes to error, and never get into the place of purpose, never get into the place of God's vision, never get into the steps that have been ordered for us, never see the glory of the Lord in the land of the living. Somebody hearing me? That's why we need an encounter with Holy Spirit. That's why we need to understand once again these giftings and how they've been laid out by Christ, until we come into the unity of the body, until we come into the full stature of Christ, till we come into that place that we have total identity of who we have become in him, and begin to operate in him in that fashion. Amen. So when we look at the building, the continued building of the church, excuse me, we come into that place of understanding that God has set this design, he has set this pattern, he has set this blueprint for the order to bring us into that place that we become the representatives of the kingdom of light, his kingdom in the earth, and we begin to function from that vantage point. Amen. That all of that is inclusive. We're going to look at the other verses of this Ephesians 4:11-16 component. But we have to. It's not. But as we see it, we have a clear understanding that it's for a reason to bring us into the clarity of our purpose in the earth. I said to someone yesterday, and I've been saying this for a season, there's only two systems in the earth, my brothers and sisters. There are only two realities in the earth that we identify, and that is the system of Baal and the system of the kingdom of God. There's no gray, blue, green, or any other area. It's either black, it's black or white. It's light and dark. It's the system, it's the system of the kingdom of Baal and the system of the kingdom of light. Well, if I do not understand what I have received out of the kingdom of light, if I do not understand the provision that has been given me to be in the kingdom of light, I can sit comfortably in the kingdom of darkness and not even know I'm in there, because I have not seen, as I like to say, the other side of the coin. I'm looking at one side and not realizing there's another side. I'm identifying everything by the top side. I'm identifying everything that I encounter by my senses, but I'm not understanding that there's another side of me that's my supernatural counterpart, that is the true me, that is to bring me in alignment with my purpose of being in the earth. If I do not understand that, then I can sit in the council of thieves and not realize that there's another place that I'm well qualified to be here, even if I'm not part of the makeup, because I do not know there's another place. I will be comfortable in the place of error, because that is the only system. That's the only environment. First, that's the only environment I knew when I lived in darkness, and that's the only environment that I see even as I make confession. Am I making myself clear? So with that revelation, that means that we have to pull our feet out of some places that are places of darkness. I think one of the most critical places that the enemy has attacked us is through the spirit of religion, through the spirit of politics. Amen. And those two clearly are the greatest deceptions of the body of Christ, because if we do not understand first that Christianity is not a religion, it's a movement. If we do not understand that politics is not our government, we have a government. If we do not understand that, we will engage in that which is wrapped up in, okay, how do I put this, is wrapped up in the system of Baal. It's actually a harvest field that we're supposed to be going into to pull the harvest out. But instead, we get drawn into it, and we take a seat in it, and we aren't supposed to sit in it, okay? We're supposed to work in it and bring harvest out of it. That's not our seat of authority. Our seat of authority is in the government of the kingdom, amen? So once again, if we do not understand clearly how these giftings operate and the purpose in which they operate, we find ourselves in a foreign place, if you would. And a foreign place always becomes a barren place, because a foreign place, it has to be a barren place, because we have no clarity understanding why we're there. It doesn't make any sense. So we live mundane lives in the midst of a brilliance of life, a brilliance that has been given to us by our Father God, but we can't see it because we haven't been introduced to it, because we did not know there was another side of the coin. I hope you hear me this morning. So we're moving. That other piece that we need to understand is that this is in his timing. This isn't a syllabus that has been created. This is not a protocol that has been established by man. This is a Kairos moment in God, that he is saying to the body of Christ in this season, I need all hands on deck, if you would. I need all components in full operation. I need you to understand who you are and why you are and the purpose for your being. I need you to understand that I did not create
the church to create auxiliaries and those things that keep people locked on the inside of brick and mortar. But I created the church. The church was created to release of my presence in the earth so that you would carry my spirit into those places that are dark and barren, broken and bruised, that those individuals and those things would see the piercing of the light being that you are so that you can function in the darkness and pierce the darkness and set the captives free. Amen. The dynamic, the outline, the purpose of our being in the earth has not changed. Jesus defined it in Luke 4:18 when he said the Spirit of the Lord was upon him and he had been anointed. The same Spirit that was upon him is the same Spirit that is upon us, the same Spirit that should be operating in us, by us, through us, and with us. Amen. The same Holy Spirit that was upon him is upon us to teach the gospel to the poor, to set the captives free, to heal the brokenhearted. All those things are our component. That's our assignment. That's our assignment. And howsoever the Father wants to craft us to get to that tip of the arrow that we move in into that assignment, that's where we should be going. That's which we should be moving. So if we do not know the gospel, we can't teach it. Amen. If we do not know the gospel, that means that we haven't had the encounter with the teacher of the gospel, which would be the Holy Ghost. Amen. If we do not know that we are to heal the brokenhearted, then that's because we haven't had an encounter with the anointed one that would show us how to heal the broken heart. If we have not preached deliverance to the poor, to the captives, then that means we did not know that we have been created and by the power of the Holy Ghost to preach to the captives. You see what I'm saying? It is the outline of the purpose in which we're in the earth. Amen. And so if we do not understand that, once again, we can't function in it. And so we can sit next to the harvest and not know it's the harvest. We can sit next to broken and bruised and captured people, and because there's not a sensitivity of the discernment of the Holy Spirit to pick up what's going on, we would not know how to comfort. We would not know how to pray. We would not know how to serve. We would not know. We would just not know anything. We would just sitting there, bondage, and one is in bondage, and one has been called to break the bondage. And because we are not aware of that, then someone gets up and walks away still bound because we were not aware that we had the key to let them out. Amen. Glory to God. There's some fundamental things that Father is bringing to our understanding, if you would. I would say he's bringing them to our remembrance, because remember that we were created in his likeness and in his image, and that all things that we were created through by him, we carry the seed of that creation. And so we've had foreknowledge, amen, even in eternity, amen. We had foreknowledge that we have forgotten through the mudslide of sin. Oh, okay, if I can put it that way. And what God is doing, he's clearing out the mud. He's getting the things out the way. He's moving things out of our vision so that we can begin to see clearly our purpose for being in the earth. But we can't do it out of our own pattern. We can't do it by the tradition of men. We can't do it by philosophies. We have to do it according to the plan that has already been set for us before the foundation of the earth. We have to do it so that we can move into that place that we were created to move into before the foundation of the earth. Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you and called you a prophet to nations. Jeremiah was not the only one. Everybody that came through the mother's womb had God knew beforehand, and that he knew exactly what we would become in the earth. So we're in this season of transition. We're in this great historical making season. We're in a season that will go down in history should Jesus tarry. We're in a season not only revival, but reawakening, and it's two different things. We're in a season that we can break through some things that could not have been broken through before, because we're the generation that has been created for this particular transition to capture those things that could not be captured because it was not time to capture them in the last transition. Glory to God. But if we do not understand who we have become, if we do not understand what it means to be new creatures in Christ Jesus. If we do not understand what it means to live in dual realities, if we do not understand how we can be seated with Christ in heavenly places and still standing on the ground of the city that we're in all at the same time in one place, if we do not understand that, then it means that we have to go back to the drawing board and go back and ask Holy Ghost to give us understanding of the blueprint, because we're in the blueprint. Somebody hear what I'm saying? We're in the blueprint. The blueprint was not created independently of us. The blueprint was created with us. Hear me. The blueprint, God knew exactly on what portion of the blueprint we would define our identity and our destiny. Glory. Hear me again. He knew exactly on what part of the blueprint or what part of the pattern or what part of that he was making that we would find not only our identity, we would find our destiny. Amen. You do know we were born with destiny. We were born, destiny was already intact. It's that our only need is to reach it. Glory to God. And it's guaranteed that we reach it if we follow the path that's been etched out before us. Amen. It's already done. It's already done. It's not like we're doing this new created thing. No, it was done before the foundations of the earth. We're waiting. We're here to see it manifested. Amen. As we move through the earth by the power and might of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And like I said, this is the greatest. In fact, not only this may be the greatest transition or the greatest move, because each move of God, as you've heard me say before, births the next move of God. But this will be the only one we see, glory to God, unless God does something new and we live another 100, 150, 200 years. Now, hear me, somebody. Amen. Should Jesus tarry? Glory to God. Amen. So anyway, I feel like I need to put forth my best foot. If this is the only one that I'm going to experience, and then if God kept me out of the womb until this appointed time, that I would live in this season, it seems to me that I should at least be curious. Okay, of the why. You all hear me out there? Amen. So we that's what all this is about. So you're gonna be hearing a lot of things, and there are a lot of, God is bringing alignment, and I say this again, He's bringing alignment. We cannot create the gospel. The gospel is already created. Right. We cannot create the process of getting through through the gospel, because it's already been created. We can't change the identifying markers of the purpose and plan and design of God. It's already been done. Amen. We cannot become what we have not been destined to be. Amen. There's not a university. There's not a school for that. Amen. We have to be who God created us to be. And the thing is, we can't be more content and happier than being who He created us to be. Amen. Satan pulls up these false fronts and gives us this false stage performance. Amen. Of that which could be better than what we're seeing or what we're feeling or what we're thinking or who we think we are. And what He's doing is drawing us further and further away from the reality that God already has us in His hand. He already has us defined. He already has us positioned for abundance. He already has us placed for spiritual blessings. It's nothing we have to go and work for. It's something that's been provided for us through the blood. My gosh, you know, but if we are not understanding that, we're looking for a different kind of love in all the wrong places, and the enemy will sure make a provision for it. Hear what I'm saying? So we get back into, we have to get it back into position, my brothers and sisters. We have to get back into that place of understanding clearly who we have become in this season. We're in a position of knowing more, because we're birthed at another level than, as I said before, than the generation before us, behind us. Amen. That we are we're no longer in the, we're not the wilderness people. Amen. We're crossing the Jordan. Amen. We are the Joshua and Caleb, a generation that's come to the other side. You know what I'm saying? We process forward. Amen. We're taking down ites and all that. We're doing those things that has been prepared. We're cutting a path through through new territory. We're the pioneers. We're those that are forerunners. We're moving forward. We're the generation that has scaled the land. We're not back there. We've scaled the land. We were born into another generation. Amen. The generation that would be here until the coming of Jesus. Glory to God. So we have to see that part that we play. And the only way we'll see that part is to be in alignment with the plan that Father is giving. And what he's saying to us right now, get in your right position and understand your right gifting so that you can manifest and benefit from that which you were given life for, that you can walk in the victory of the hour, that you understand clearly that we weren't here to join the world. We weren't here to join the world and the Father is Satan. We were here to take the land. We were here to take the world. We were here to take it out of the control of the hands of Baal and place it at the feet and throw it as a crown before the Father's feet. We were here to put it under our feet so that God's rule and reign would be in the earth. And wherever you are on the earth, that's where God is ruling, because he's ruling through you, by you, and we're doing it for him. Hear what I'm saying? So we have to get into that place of understanding this is what he's saying. I'm telling you right now, he's pulling people out of those false places, and those that he's pulling out are becoming his now remnant. Hear me again. He's pulling people out from places, coming his now remnant, those whose hearts have been turned and those hearts have been softened and those hearts have been receptive. Those souls have been open to the working of the Holy Spirit. Those individuals that have been brought into that place now that God is saying, now I can use you for my glory, for my purpose, and for my plan for this generation, not for the next generation, for this generation. Because if we get this generation taken care of right, the next generation will have it and go on with it. This generation can prepare for everything coming because this generation breaks the line of darkness and confusion and iniquity. This generation, if we move according to the purpose and plan of God, become the priests and kings in the land. This generation becomes agents of the kingdom. And when we become agents of the kingdom, there's not a devil in hell can encounter us, approach us, encounter us, or win over us, because we can see them before they get there, and then they want anything to do with us, just like they don't want anything to do with Jesus. Hear what I'm saying? We need to understand that God has brought us to a place in this season and time, and I'm telling you, he's not going to back up, he's not going to turn around, and he's not going to wait. Glory to God. Because he did not create us to wait. He created us to be obedient. He didn't create us to go backward. He created us to go forward. Amen. And the only thing way we can do that, it has to be in total partnership with him. That we move according to his purpose, according to his plan. That we will shake off those things, those religious spirits, those physical spirits, those political spirits, those spirits that carry the mantle of Herod, those judges and those things that have come out of Baal and never tapped into the kingdom of God. And I'm talking about the judges. I'm not talking about the judges today. I'm talking about the system. Hear what I'm saying? I'm talking about the system. Amen. People are caught up in the system of darkness. The people aren't dark. The system is dark. Of course, the system has made some dark that may never recover. Amen. But the system, and because the system houses not only the harvest, the system houses fallen angels, demons, and everything else. It's all in the system. Amen. We're not after the fallen angels and the demons. We're after the harvest. So we have to be in that place. And the only way we can do it, once again, is follow God's blueprint, his plan, his pattern, his purpose, his timing, and his call. Glory to God. And we, his call, we kind of need to stop calling for God and let God do the calling. Amen. Amen. As he moves us forward in this hour and in this season. So that's where we are and that's where we're going. Amen. As I'm given ear, that's where many are desiring to be. Amen. In that place. Because anything out of order makes the enemy happy. Let me say that again. Anything out of order encourages the enemy. He loves disorder. He loves chaos. He loves all of that negative. He loves us to walk on the wrong side of the path. He loves us to operate in unrighteousness. He loves us to operate outside of our giftings and outside of our callings. He loves it because he understands that when we operate outside of that which God has ordained, we become dysfunctional, amen, in the operations. You hear what I'm saying? And then what we do, we're placating the flesh, our carnal nature, because our carnal nature wants to do things that it doesn't qualify for, amen, instead of yielding to the hand of God as he brings us into alignment with his purpose and plan. So make the devil uncomfortable, amen. If he's not making you uncomfortable and you're moving in the right direction, make him uncomfortable with those he's encountering that's under your watch, amen. In your community, in your family, in your community, in your city, in your state, make him uncomfortable, amen. That he is approaching on that territory that is not his, because the blood wasn't shed for him, amen. The blood was shed for those held in captivity by him, amen. Make him uncomfortable. Glory to God. And make sure that we are lined up in total perfection and in the total place that Father would have us in this time and season. Amen. So that we, that all glory, everything we do will manifest in glory to God. Everything we do will manifest in glory to God. And when we miss and we slip, then we thank him for his mercy. We thank him for his forgiveness in our heart. Heartly confession. We thank you that our minds are changed and shifted and geared along the path of righteousness. We're thankful that we, as I had a brother, apostle friend said the other day, that we're practitioners of righteousness. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to know that we can come into that place that we can practice righteousness, and it becomes part of our essence of who we are, because in reality, that's exactly who we are. Outside of the mantle and the covering of sin, that's exactly who we are. We're the righteous seed of a living God. Amen. And he purposes in that we be that in our hearts as we move forward in time and season. And so for that, we are grateful. Amen. So I am about out of time. I have a couple of minutes left. But once again, I want to, those of you that come on late, to know that Visions of Hope is relaunching today at 3 o'clock. At Bernadette's Faith in Action, a place where we blessed to be doing Bible study on a weekly basis. It's located at 20880 East 10 Mile Road in St. Clair Shores, Michigan. Once again, 20880 East 10 Mile Road, I'm sorry. In St. Clair Shores, Michigan, they're located just between Little Mac and Harper, off of I-94 East. Amen. That's where we'll be from 3 to 5, and then on June 6th through 9th, Detroit Ablaze, the end gathering of the fivefold. We are looking for that end gathering to happen in downtown Detroit. We will confirm the host hotel, I think, Tuesday, and we'll have that information out. But we will be on social media. We'll get that information out. Those of you in Detroit, those of you that are from Detroit, living in other states, those of you that have a heart for Detroit, all roads are heading toward Detroit for that weekend. We believe that there's going to be an outpouring, as well as for the end gathering, just some things that the Father isn't even revealing to us, but we do know that the Holy Ghost will manifest even the more in this place. So we invite you to attend. Put us on your calendar. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for that what you are sharing with us, that you are revealing to us. We thank you that we're even alive in this generation and moving in this season of transition, and for that, we are grateful. We just give you praise for all that you're doing. I thank you for every person, every city that's represented on this call, every ministry. I pray, Father God, that the light of your presence will continue to manifest over them, in them, through them, with them, and for them. Thank you, Father God, that you will bring us all together as arrows filling your quiver,
as you launch us into those places you've called us to go, to carry your purpose, your glory, into dark and barren places. We thank you, God, that we are your kingdom of light bearers, and that we will pierce darkness, and for that we continue to give you praise. So bless these, my brothers and sisters, Father God, wherever they are. Let there be rejoicing today, hallelujah, as we continue to celebrate your goodness, your grace, and your mercy unto us. We thank you, we honor you, we love you, and we worship you for it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Okay, guys, that's all for today. I pray that you have a great day, great experience in worship, magnificent week in worship. Oh, glory to God. And we will talk and we will connect later. Amen. God bless you. Bye-bye.